Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So first this morning, Michael D. Higgins has rejected the idea that record homelessness numbers in the state are linked to migration and the number of asylum seekers arriving here. The President's remarks appeared to be in direct contradiction to claims made by Taoiseach Simon Harris in a weekend interview. The Taoiseach doubled down on his comments. He was speaking in New York after an event at the United Nations General Assembly. The President doubled down on his comments. He said there's an absolute link between people leaving direct provision presenting as homeless, but that his comments were not apportioning blame to any particular group of people. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now in the studio by Fionnán Sheehan, who's Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. Fionnán, good to have you with us.
Sir.
Good morning to you. So Michael D. Higgins was fairly blunt in his response when he was asked about the claims made by Simon Harris, but it's not the first time he's been critical of the government's approach to housing and fixing the housing crisis, is it?
No, he is the one who labelled it a national disaster. Now, there are continually question marks over why is the President, who is in a largely ceremonial role, expressing any opinions on issues like this when he has no function in that regard. He argues that he's kind of the conscience of the nation and that people knew exactly what they were getting when they elected him and when they re-elected him 7 years later, and that he will continue to speak out on such matters. And on this occasion, he's directly contradicting the Taoiseach, who seems to be... Is there a bit of dog whistling going on there? Maybe he'll be open to that accusation, but he seems to be just saying mathematically... There are presentations coming from direct provision from the immigration system into the housing demand, and that this is increasing the level of demand for housing, and therefore that is contributing to homelessness. So it's difficult to see how that's not at last of a logical argument.
So
you can argue that, again, Simon Harris, as usual, distancing himself from the problem as he is wont to do, and is this not a government issue to provide housing for people no matter what category they are in? But nonetheless, it's hard to see how there isn't a link.
So what happens? Because when Michael D was asked about this, he said he hadn't read the interview, didn't he, that Simon Harris had
done?
Yeah,
he seemed to be responding to the comments on the fly. I mean, look, there are always, he's in New York as well, there are always question marks as well about what politicians should or should not be saying when they are out of the country. But nonetheless, he's expressing his opinion directly against what the Taoiseach seems to be saying.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some who would say he is crossing the line, although this government certainly has never gone down that road with Michael D. Higgins, have they?
No, they haven't. And around about, I suppose, when we look back on Michael D. Higgins' ultimate 14 years in office, we'll be able to pick a controversy around about every year that he is involved in around comments that he makes on a variety of topics. And sometimes you'd say they're largely speaking populist comments where he criticizes things that are obviously wrong. He's not actually in a position to do anything about them. We know that he has his regular meetings with the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach travels up to Áras an Uachtaráin every month or 6 weeks to update the President on the legislative agenda. So they have their private meetings in that regard. So we don't know what takes place in those. That is never disclosed, not even with somebody like Simon Harris. So is he admonishing whatever Taoiseach comes in his door as well during those meetings about whatever matters or he wants to get off his chest?
We don't know.
We simply don't know.
So the other headline from that trip to New York came from his comments around the Israeli embassy. He accused them of leaking the letter of congratulations that he had sent to the newly elected president of Iran. This was last July. The embassy have strongly refuted that. Now, on this issue, the government have come out and supported Michael D. Higgins on this, haven't they?
They've supported him in terms of his clash with Israel, in terms of saying he is entitled as head of state under normal diplomatic protocols to write to the head of another nation and congratulating them on their appointment to office. Government is not saying, though, that there is evidence of the Israeli embassy leaking this letter. In fact, if you look online today, and I'm speaking to several people, it would appear that letter came from the Iranians. that there are screen grabs of the Iranian side circulating this letter to the general public, and you know the Israeli embassy picked up on that and criticised them. Yes, it did appear in the Jewish press as well. So you know he's correct to say the Israelis picked up on it, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence at all, and quite the contrary, that it was the Iranians that it was the Israeli side that obtained this letter in the first place. One thinks that Mossad have better things to be doing than monitoring Michael Dee's letters.
You wouldn't know. So the other issue I wanted to talk to you about, because we've discussed the election date so many times, Fiona, on this programme with you and with others. But at the weekend, the Taoiseach seemed to be rowing back a little bit on his hard line that this government will run to full term. So he's telling us now we'll have the budget and we'll talk about it
then. Well, I mean, I dispute that he had a hard line on the government. Sorry, what the full term
means. It depends on what you define the full term as being.
Micheál Martin is quite clear on what a full term means. He said that means an election in 2025. Mm-hmm. The Taoiseach refuses to use the word 2025, that those numbers don't enter his head. So the Taoiseach kind of got schooled by the Taoiseach last week, who was on fairly fiery form above on Killiney Hill. And he was quite clear, there will be an election at the end of the term. The end of the term is next year. Therefore, that's when the election will be, as far as he is concerned. Ultimately, he's not the one who makes the call. Mm-hmm. So if the Taoiseach wants to call an election before that, the indication from Micheál Martin and also from Roderick O'Gorman is you're on your own. You're going to have to call the election without the agreement of your coalition partners. So when he says get the budget out of the way, yeah, he's right. I mean, that should be the priority. You can come back to it after that. We'll be here Halloween weekend one way or another. We'll either be saying Simon Harris bottled it and he's pitched the election into the new year, or he's gone on a solo run and he's running the election in November without the consent of his coalition partners.
All right, so we'll have an answer by Halloween is what you're saying. Now, those who are pushing for an election in short order will say you run the risk of being victim to events if you let it go into next year. And we saw over the weekend this saga again raising its head over the National Children's Hospital and the letter sent by Stephen Donnelly to the Taoiseach and other senior government members on Friday, alleging a series of concerns about the construction and the cost. We know that BAM, the contractor, has strenuously denied those. So where is that at this morning?
So as of now, we're waiting on an update from the board of the new Children's Hospital to explain the allegations that have been made by Stephen Donnelly, because he's basically saying this is what they're telling me, so I'm telling you, he says in his letter to the leaders of the coalition. And so we're looking for detail on things like, right, so what exactly is the finish date at this particular point in time? So at the moment, as best we can gather from Stephen Donnelly's letter, the handover from the builder will be May of 2025. It's been pushed out till then. From there, it'll take 6 months to fit out the hospital and staff it up. So best case scenario, everything going well, you're talking November 2025. No chance of that, really. You're talking into 2026 at this stage. Where are we at on the cost? The government are saying that the extra funding has been put in this year, that's all the money that there is. The price is currently at 2.2 billion, but we know that there are literally thousands of disputes between the contractor BAM and the board of the hospital about the cost of individual items and changes to the spec as things have progressed along. So where the final bill is, we don't actually know. We're also looking for an update now on very fundamental issues around what exactly is the standard of this build, because Stephen Donnelly is saying that it's not of the standard that you would require, that basic issues like plumbing, flooring, handrails, insulation in the walls haven't been done correctly, that 3,000 rooms have been said to be finished by the builder, but yet when the board and their staff go in and inspect them, they find that fixtures and fittings aren't on the sinks and the taps. Vinyl flooring is not properly done. Handrails aren't in place. So the board of the hospital will be able to tease that out.
And we'll hear from them on Wednesday.
We'll hear from them on Wednesday. The big issue is that a recurring theme of Stephen Donnelly's letter is that the board are doing everything they can to breathe down the necks of BAM, but that they don't have the wherewithal necessary to penalise them for anything that they see in terms of overruns, jobs that are not up to spec and so on, because the contract is too weak. He uses the word modest. The levers are modest within that. So you have things like you can withhold some money, you can attach some penalties, but they can all be disputed as well. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Donnelly keeps pointing to this contract in January of 2019. And who was the Minister for Health in January of 2019? Simon Harris. Who brought that memo to government in December of 2018? Simon Harris. So there will be questions to be asked here by Simon Harris, who said at the time, we need assurances about the cost and delivery of this project. What were those assurances?
All right, Fiona, I want to bring in Dr. Brian Turner. You might need to stick on your headphones there to hear Brian. And Brian is a health economist at Cork University Business School at UCC. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
Just on the Children's Hospital, what's your sense of things when we're this far down the line? The project is delayed yet again because of the basic things, as Fiona has outlined there, and this is all according to Stephen Donnelly in his letter to his colleagues in government: handrails, sinks, taps not installed to standard.
I think at this stage, the National Children's Hospital is kind of replacing the weather as the most talked about topic in Ireland these days, which is unfortunate because, you know, it should be a very significant improvement in terms of the environment in which children are treated, but the cost overruns and the delays that we've seen over a long period of time have just been of a magnitude that is just engulfing the project at this point in time. I mean, as Fiona has pointed out, I mean, at the moment we're looking at 2.2 billion. It's likely that is going to increase. I suspect we won't actually know the final cost until after the hospital is open, because a lot of these issues are going to be in adjudication for some time. And there is the possibility, my understanding is that there's a possibility that any results of the adjudication can then be challenged in the courts if needs be. So I suspect that we won't know the full cost until well after the hospital has opened. And I suppose it's worth bearing in mind, this hospital is replacing the existing facilities. So we're not gaining a huge amount of additional capacity here. Okay, there's going to be a little bit of additional capacity. But, okay, obviously the environment will be a lot better in which children are being treated, but the capacity for treating children is not going to increase significantly, even after 2 billion euros. So,
and Brian, we know that BAM says that it rejects in the strongest terms the misleading, ill-informed and incorrect allegations levelled against it. But going back to what Fiona was saying about the 2019 contract, and Stephen Donnelly refers to this in his letter as well, saying that the pushback available to him, the levers, are modest. Have you any insight into that contract and why the levers might be modest?
I don't have any particular insight into the contract, but I do think we need to go back and look at, okay, what exactly has led to this situation? And if that is partly down to the contract, then we need to make sure that we don't end up signing contracts like that again, because the one thing we have to do based on this project is learn from the mistakes that have been made, particularly given that we have significant other projects coming down the tracks in health and in the wider public infrastructure realm. I mean, we've seen delays on the National Maternity Hospital because of the wrangling over the ownership of the site. We have three new elective hospitals that are due to be built in the next few years. You know, we have a significant rollout of primary care centres, mental health facilities and so forth. So we need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the other issue is, like, the longer these projects are delayed, the more the costs are increasing. So, for example, Sláinte Care was published in early 2017, and that was around the same time that the government approved the investment for the National Children's Hospital. Now, since then, up to July of this year, the tender price index has increased by just over 60%. So, you know, that is increasing the cost. So the longer the these projects are delayed, the more the costs have increased. Now, and to be fair, in relation to the National Children's Hospital, we have had COVID and a war in Ukraine affecting supply chains in the meantime. So there have been mitigating factors.
Yeah, and I think people understand that, Brian. But what I want to ask you, and I think this is really important as we look ahead to what's coming down the track, are you saying that what's happening with the Children's Hospital is likely to affect other infrastructure projects and when they're delivered? Because the more money that's pumped into the Children's Hospital, the less there is to spend on those other things.
I think that is the case. I mean, obviously, any overrun in the Children's Hospital, and the overrun at this stage is well north of €1 billion compared to what it was originally scheduled to cost. Obviously, you know, any additional overrun on top of that means that there's less money to spend on other capital projects. It's the basic opportunity cost argument. So if you spend it on the National Children's Hospital, you can't spend it on one of the other infrastructure projects.
All right. Well, thank you both, Fionnán Sheehan and Dr. Brian Turner. Coming up next, we'll have the latest from the Middle East as those Israeli missiles attacks intensify.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.